BC still?
Still, I mean, it's still in all of our, like, marginalized populations. And so, like, women, non-binary folk, trans mm-hmm. folk, people of color. In my practice personally, I think a lot of it is the, like, the younger populations who are trying to navigate their way through a healthcare system. So, mm-hmm. like, younger, lower income. There is all of these different systems put in place, but they are really hard to navigate. And again, that was something that through the campaign, people were like, oh, part of this contraception is covered under this kind of program, but to be able to get the funding for it, you had to go through all of these like different windows. I would even call pharmacists and be like, hey, how do you help someone sign up for this like PharmaNet program that helps pay for this? And the pharmacist is like, just even have an idea. So that's something where I feel like often policies get made, but they're not thinking of the people when they do get made. And then the politicians themselves are not that vulnerable population mm-hmm. and they don't have to go through it.
Yeah.
So something that's really amazing about this new policy is that it's pretty, as far as everything has been laid out, I haven't had to go get a new IUD yet. But as far as it sounds, you just go to the pharmacy and then you access your contraception, which is a mm-hmm. very simple, very accessible. Kudos to the people that made it so easy for
oh, yeah.
all of our vulnerable populations to access this medicine.
Yeah, very easy and also very, very important. And how did you or AccessBC achieve the final step or the final change? How did you get involved with the government and how did you achieve the new law?
For sure. I think a lot of it was just, like, determination. So in 2020, this policy was mentioned in a lot of campaign promises, and then nothing kind of happened. And so I remember a couple budgets ago being like, oh my gosh, is it going to come out in the budget? And we were all so excited, and then it didn't. We were like, oh, okay, here we go, more work. And so the entire campaign has really just been, like, a grassroots campaign of getting people to write and contact their MLAs, getting cities on board. That's something that I was really a part of before I got pregnant and had my baby and was a little bit busy. But we got all of the local municipalities, we got like almost every single municipality across BC mm-hmm. to endorse our policies so that they were telling the government, like, we as the city of Kimberley, we as the city of, you know, Burnie or Burnaby or wherever, think that this is important policy. So we had pressure not just from the people but from all of these different kind of like levels of government showing the provincial government that this was something that mattered to every single person in every single municipality in BC.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure. And I see that. And how will universal free contraception impact the issues of period poverty?
Yeah, so for a lot of people, when they are on certain kinds of contraception, they don't get a period, which mm-hmm. is amazing for period poverty concerns. And I think just creating awareness of, like, your menses matters, you know, like, what the symptoms that you have while you're on your menses and how we treat them matters, as well as how we access things to help treat our menses. And so if we're taking medicines that are making our menses more manageable, mm-hmm. that is helping with our bleeding, that's going to mean that we need less materials for our period. And then also we're going to be saving on the medication, so we can take all of that medication savings and be putting it into these still way too expensive period products mm-hmm. that we need, you know?
Yeah. Okay, I can understand that totally, and it makes a huge change. So I'm from Germany, and period products are so expensive, so I wish that we had the same law too, so I hope there will be a change soon. So it is great what you have done so far, and I wish for that, like, that more countries would do that too. And how do you think, how will it influence our female future in general? So how does it influence our whole future? So if you look, like, I don't know, like 3 years ahead, how does it, like, influence our future?
I think a lot of people are going to feel, like, a lot more supported mm-hmm. by their healthcare systems and supported by their government. Mm-hmm. I'm trying really hard not to cry because it's, like, such an emotional issue, but, like, sorry.
Take your time. It's okay. It is great.
It was really amazing to see our government do something positive that we've been working towards for so long. Like, over the past couple of years, especially in BC politics, like, there's so many things that we can get frustrated at our government for. There's so many things that can make us upset. Working in healthcare, like, healthcare has been very tough over the past couple of years since 2020, if you know what I mean. Like, and then seeing like politicians listening to the words of all of these advocates, like, there's people of every different profession and background and everything in the Access BC team, and we all knew that this was such an important issue, and so having it like come to fruition is like, oh my gosh, we made a difference, and it's going to impact people immediately. Every single day, that somebody goes to pick up their free contraception, they're going to be so thankful that they have access to that contraception, and that they're saving money, and that their government values them, and that their government, like, understands the importance of this for, like, women's health and for uterine health. It's a huge deal.
It is, for sure. And you can be so proud of yourself that you and Access BC did this amazing change, and everybody will be so thankful, and everybody will think of you every day and be thankful for you. So you can be really proud, and I'm so grateful that you let out of these emotions, and that you can share that you can share what you feel about it, because it is so, so important, and it is, for sure, it just so shows us how, like, we still have so much to work on, but it is a huge step in the right direction, and it's the first, like, I read an article about it, so the first time I heard about it, and I was so grateful, and it's such a great opportunity, so you can be really proud of yourself, and
awesome. Thanks so much.
So would you like to add anything as we almost close out here for today's interview? So far,
yeah. So there is campaigns in almost every single province, and the Yukon. Yeah, there's campaigns in a bunch of different provinces to help those provinces get similar policies to what we just achieved here in BC. There's a bunch of political parties in Alberta, Manitoba, Ontario, Quebec, Nova Scotia, and the Yukon that have made commitments. Like, what's that, campaign commitments to implement universal free contraception coverage should they be elected. So looking into all of those parties, helping support the rest of these grassroots campaigns so that we can make this like a Canada-wide policy and have this be something that Canada is, like, BC's leading Canada right now, and Canada could be leading, you know, like, a good part of the world. We don't always have, like, the best healthcare policies for everything, but this is something that we can, like, really be taking a huge step towards all across Canada. So I really encourage people to check that out. It's all on our website. If you go to the Access BC media in our press release, there's links to all of the different campaigns that we need to keep continue supporting. And also, while you're on your website, sending that thank you letter, like I mentioned, that thank you letter to our politicians, and then also encouraging them to consider including the patch, the ring, and some of our, like, low OCP choices.
And if you want to look for their website, you should definitely check out our archives. I will also link the Access BC website on our intravenous archive, so you should definitely check that out. Do you also have other social media web, like, pages that people can check out?
We have social media on Facebook, so it's Access BC on Facebook, and that's where I think we do most of our posting and links, and we keep our website really up to date as well, so, like, most of our media stuff will be up on the website as well.
So you should definitely check out too, and also on our archive on Intravenous. And now to my very last question. So why do you think free access to birth control is so important for our society?
50% of our population needs it, man. Like, that's a lot of our population, right? And when a big thing is that when studies show that when women and people with uteruses have access to the things that we need to take control of our health, we are able to do everything that we want to do. We're able to participate, we're able to have children, we're able to have children and participate and just be engaged in every single aspect of, like, life, academia, like, the economy, all of these different kinds of things, because birth control is a human right, and our reproductive system is one of the biggest systems in our entire body, and every single piece of our entire body affects how we're able to, like, function in this world. So by supporting access to contraception, we're supporting access to, like, fully functioning women and people with uteruses, which is super important.
For sure. And yeah, thank you so much for answering all of these questions and for opening up about the free birth control and the new law. And yeah, thank you so much. And I have one last question. What's your favorite song, or what do you have a song that's, like, inspiring or kind of fits to today's topic that you want me to play on air for you?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know. It'd probably be something my blog. Been listening to a lot of Blondie recently in our house. It's like a new baby. a new baby girl to add to, like, our feminist crew. So anything by Blondie, I think, would be my request.
Blondie? Okay. Okay, for sure. I will definitely play the song, and then we can listen to it right after this interview. And yeah, thank you so much, Caitlin, for being here. And by Blondie, and we just heard the interview with Caitlin Moodry. And I have to apologize, I accidentally read the wrong name. So it's Dr. Caitlin Moodry, and she is a naturopathic physician dedicated to increasing quality healthcare access for all. Through her clinical experience, Caitlin knows access to essential treatments and medications, specifically birth control, is essential for quality healthcare. And as a community health advocate, she does many free public health talks and is an advisor for local health organizations, in addition to supporting Access, because she offers Access BC, she offers trauma-informed pelvic exams and PAPs, and is a vocal advocate for reproductive justice and preventive health. She lives and works in Cranbrook and Kimberley, BC, and just got a new baby. So, I have to thank Caitlin for the interview, and I'm sorry that I read the wrong name. Sometimes I'm a little bit stressed, and then I kind of think I found the wrong person, so I apologize for that. But it's Dr. Caitlin Moodry, and you can also find her profile on the Access BC website, so accessbc.org. And we just listened to her interview that I did with her on Monday, and it's about the new law that was released this month. So since April 1st, 2023, you can access free birth control here in BC, and it's a pilot program, and it will last for 3 years, and it might be renewed in the future. I hope so. And as Caitlin already said, I'm also hoping that in other provinces in Canada, the same law will released too. So what do you think about the interview? And
I think really she touches on very key important points, and this idea of having your say on your body and the reproductive rights. And I think this is a very, very important step, and definitely something that others should look at. And as you said, I hope that it keeps on continuing in the future, and it's not just once in a lifetime thing for people.
For sure. And especially because I'm from Germany, and we still have to pay for birth control, so it's not free at all. So I'm like really grateful that it is free here and that people can access it here for free. And even the plan B, so the morning after pill, is also free here. So if you didn't follow along, so almost every contraception is covered, except the low pills. And I think that's it. So and the rings as well. So oral hormone pills, contraception injections, copper or hormonal intrauterine contraception device, so IUD, subdermal implants, and Plan D is covered by this pilot program. So I hope that the government decides in Canada that every province is able to give free birth control to people. Mm-hmm. Because it actually also helps, like I just talked about it with Caitlin, about it will also prevent period poverty. So have you heard from about period poverty before?
Actually no, but I would
what would you assume does it mean?
I would imagine that is something related to access of period and menstruational health products.
So period poverty means that people suffer under poverty cannot really access period products, and that they cannot afford products, so they kind of have to suffer under the symptoms of the period, and that they cannot afford these period products. So it's great because some contraceptions help to stop the period so that they don't get the period at all, and it helps a lot so they don't have to pay for very expensive period products, and they don't have to suffer under symptoms like cramps or headaches or back pain, especially when you live, for example, when you live on the street. So a woman on the street, they cannot afford period products at all, so that can help a lot, so they don't have to pay or get free or have to get period products themselves. So you can just
access these this free birth control, and then that it's, the thing is covered, and they don't have to suffer, besides living on the streets, of course. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to suffer under this period poverty, too. So, yeah, period poverty means that, yeah, you cannot afford period products and suffer under the symptoms because you cannot afford any help, like, I don't know, like painkillers or something. So that can help a lot and makes a huge change here in BC. So, yeah, that's great. So how is the situation in India, by the way? I was wondering, because we're only talking about BC and Canada here, but we are from both from different countries. So I'm from Germany and Pranjali is from India. So how is the situation in India?
It is a dire situation, particularly the period poverty is definitely mm-hmm. something, because I imagine that there is a big gap between different economic classes in India, so mm-hmm. the access definitely is reserved or is accessed by only a certain fraction of the population, and not everyone has the ability to afford either period products. And I don't think people would generally talk about pills and mm. hormonal contraception, like other methods, in open. That's mm-hmm. not that's not something that the society is really open to, and it's pretty sad, because if you don't talk about something, that's the worst thing that you could do. Mm-hmm. Because if only you talk, you can remove the stigma from it and really solve the issue at hand, if I can say that. But like, the first step is definitely in some places is to be open and talking about this. That is the first step, because it is a long way to go in those societies, because saying that it's women's body and they get to choose and they get to decide, I don't think that is like a free choice that is just given mm-hmm. at your birth. It's not. Many people have to fight for it, and
yeah, for sure.
It's a very different story.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole different topic that we could discuss. But unfortunately, we're running out of time again.
Always.
Always. It's to say, like, every time, we're always running out of time. But it's still so much fun to talk about these important issues, because, I mean, we both are also a woman. So we also suffer under periods. So, yeah, it's a thing. And in Germany, I have the feeling that it's also a little bit, I don't know, people don't really talk about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do have contraception, and if you have insurance that it's funded by the state, then you get a free birth control. But you first have to go to a doctor and then get a description, and then you have to go, and I think you have to pay like €5 still. No, it's actually not free, so you still have to pay a little bit, so a little amount of money. And if you have an insurance or a private insurance, then you have to pay fully. So I have a private insurance, and I have to pay for every contraception, it doesn't matter which one. And it gets even more expensive, so it is a lot. And I had to storage my contraceptions and my pill, and I had to pay so much money beforehand, and it's so expensive. So it is kind of a problem. So not everybody can afford it. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Not everybody can afford it, because some people don't have insurance, and if they have an insurance, sometimes that insurance also doesn't cover everything.
Yeah, I also think not a lot of people know the usage and the effects that it might have.
Yeah.
And I know in some scientific arenas, there is also talk about how the pills could impact the hormonal balances in the body.
Oh, yeah.
So that is something also not, let's say, not everyone, you know, is aware of. So I think with increasing the access to the pills or the medicines, it's also important to educate more and tell people and discuss this so that they know what they are getting into and what other alternates they have and how to use it. So yeah, it doesn't mm-hmm. make sense to just like, oh, we offer these pills, but we don't really know how it's going to affect you. So I think that's important as well. Yeah.
Yeah, you should also talk about the effects, and especially the side effects, because I mean, the pill it has a kind of a bad reputation, and I can definitely, tell you that it is not really good for your body, because, I mean, some of my friends take the pill and they suffer under depression because of it. They're sad, and I also had experienced some of it. Like, I had to cry sometimes. I didn't even know why, and it kind of made my hormones be unbalanced, and you don't feel really good. Your body doesn't feel good. Some people gain a lot of weight. Some people lose a lot of weight. So you should inform yourself before you take any birth control at all. So try to do some research. There are some really good articles about different contraceptions on the internet. So just go and Google. And yeah, if you're thinking about getting birth control, then you should definitely check it out before you take it, because I mean, you should inform yourself what you're doing to your body. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's great that we're providing, or that you can access free birth control here, but you definitely have to talk to the people and tell them what's going on with these products. Mm-hmm. Because they can change your, not your character, but your body. And yeah,
that's the building block. And I know, like, some of my friends, they prefer one over the other. So, like, there are different options in the pills as well. So, choose the one that suits your body. So that is also something that you guys need to be aware of. Yeah. And, yeah.
And talk to your doctor. I mean, you do have to go to a doctor and get a prescription, which is good, because otherwise I think some people wouldn't know what they're like swallowing, for example. So you should definitely talk to your doctor and ask for help and advice, which product fits to your body the best. And then you can choose which birth control is the best for you and which fits to your body and your hormones and your whole mood, because it can affect your mood and how you act and how you react to people. So be aware of that, and be safe. And in my opinion, it's great that it is free here, and it's such a great change. And I mean, we still have to do a lot, not only in Canada, but also in other countries as well. I mean, in some countries, that's not even talked about. They don't even talk about it. And I can only remember, like, I watched this YouTube video where it talked about the period, and then I kind of analyzed commercials on TV, and the commercials only showed, like, oh, yeah, period is blue, or I don't know, you know?
I know what you mean. And it's like, you just, like, buy their product and you're just all good. And it just solves the problems. And now the woman can fit into the society better. So, I see that narrative a lot of advertisements. Yeah.
Yeah. So, in my opinion, you should definitely talk about it more. And especially men. Like, they had also did, like, a street interview on the streets. And almost, I don't know, nobody actually from the men's side know about the period. Like, they did know something because of their girlfriends, but I didn't know too much about it. So men, or like, I don't know, male identifying persons should know more about it. I mean, women as well. I mean, I can educate myself all the time, so I still need to learn a lot, but some men should definitely learn more about the period.
Men should definitely learn so much more
about the women, even though it doesn't affect you. I mean, if you have a girlfriend or a wife or a person, a female person in your life, a friend, whatever, your sister, your mom, your grandma, you should definitely inform yourself what's going on with them when they have the period, and try to support them, because it's not always easy for everybody. So be aware of that, for sure. And do some research. For sure.
Yes. And also, like, we're running out of time again. I know. But this is the last show with both of us for at least a while. I hope we can have more conversations.
For sure.
And I can interview when you're in Germany, you know.
Yeah, you can call me.
I will call you. We'll do a Zoom meeting, and then we can, like, an interview.
Actually, we could do that. That would be so cool, because
I know.
I'm already missing the radio, and I'm not even gone yet, so I will definitely miss it here. And I'm so glad that I could host a show with you, and I'm so, so thankful. Next show is coming up, Democracy Now!, and if you want to listen more to our beautiful voices, you should definitely tune in today to Pranjali's open mic. It's from 1 to 2?
Yes, that
from
is, 1 to actually,
2.
Yes.
And my open mic is tomorrow from 1 to 2, so tune in for some fun tunes and some maybe gossip, some tea, and yeah, just hang out with us tomorrow and today and come back next week to Intravenous 10 to 11 a.m. And yeah, we are out. This is the last 10 seconds and I'm going to miss you here.
Yeah, me too. So looking forward to everything.
Yeah, we are out. Bye.